Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joined now by David Kenyon. David Kenyon is the national college football writer for the Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Kenyon19_BR. And we have him on because he did a piece that's gotten a lot of play here in Memphis where he went through and ranked the top 25 offenses in the upcoming football season. And Memphis was number two. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So how did it occur to you to put Memphis, as you're doing your research for this piece, did it surprise you? How in the world did you come up with Memphis as the number two offense in the country?
No, I was really impressed with what they did last year after the first month, really. Riley Ferguson seemed to settle in as the starting quarterback, and they just returned so many of their weapons this year.
Obviously, Anthony Miller's part of it. Dorlan Dorfey's part of it. As you point out, the offensive line is a potential trouble spot, was last year, honestly. The fact that Riley Ferguson was able to do what he did when he was under such pressure was fairly remarkable. And I guess if they can solidify it even better this year.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, that if this is not to happen, if they weren't to be a top five kind of offense, I think that's what you're going to look at. Like you mentioned, the pressure. Ferguson had a lot of times where he had to escape. There is something to be said for him trying to stand tall in the pocket, but there are also times he took unnecessary sacks. So the offensive line, between the outside pressure and then just flat out being able to run block better, they had a productive year, but I mean they only averaged, I think, 4.2 yards per carry. So that's a concern for sure.
Talking to David Kenyon from the Bleacher Report, I want to get to some other teams that are on this list. But let me ask you this first. When you were doing this ranking, is it the most productive offenses, the offenses you expect to be most productive? Because while I acknowledge and celebrate what Memphis was able to do, particularly after losing Justin Fuente and Paxton Lynch, that Riley Ferguson and Mike Norvell came in here and put up the numbers they put up, Riley's were nearly identical or nearly as good as Paxton Lynch's, which got him drafted in the first round. I'm under no illusions that I really think that if the Memphis offense were going up against the Alabama defense versus, say, the Ohio State offense going up against the Alabama defense or the Florida State offense going up against the Alabama defense, that the Memphis offense would be better. Do you think the Memphis offense is the best or the second best in the country, or do you think it will be the second most productive? Through what prism were you looking at this?
That's a really good question. That's a very important one, too. Like you said, they're not necessarily better than a lot of the offenses. It is a lot to do with production, and it also is relative to the competition they play. So you're looking at a team like Memphis that should pretty much tear apart every team in the conference, and so they're going to put up some massive numbers between the system and the success there. So it's a lot to do with the pure production of the offense.
All right, let me go through some of the other teams you mentioned in your top 25, because it's 100 days from the start of the college football season, so it seems like a reasonable time to do that. Some might be surprised that they're at number 23, not known as an offensive juggernaut, LSU. Why?
Yeah, that's the same kind of thing with production. And in this, I tried to value efficiency as well. With Darius Geis, they're going to run the ball effectively. And just because they don't play at the same pace as a team like Memphis, for example, doesn't mean that they don't deserve the attention if they're going to put up more efficient numbers. And then I'm also a big fan of Matt Canada. I think he's going to really bring some creativity that LSU has lacked for quite a few years.
Down at number 19, which is for Alabama, you'd maybe expect higher, but you got 19 Alabama. Thoughts on Alabama's offense?
The offensive line is really a big plus for them this year. I think even after the loss of Cam Robinson, they're well prepared to handle that. I think Jonah Williams is a star. My biggest concern is Jalen Hurts' progression as a passer. I know a lot of people say that, but I'm very curious with Brian Daboll. I'm not really sold on him as an upgrade, especially over Lane Kiffin. As much crap as he took, he was some heck of an offensive coach.
Number 17, just above them, and they got a new quarterback in Jarrett Stidham, Auburn.
Like most about Auburn is Jarrett Stidham brings a downfield passing attack that they haven't had since Nick Marshall and Sammy Coates. I think last year my numbers have Sean White with about 30 passes beyond 20 yards, and that there's no way that's going to be repeated. Stidham will throw 5, 6, 7 times a game down the field.
Do you think he's going to be a star? And who right now, and I'm putting you on the spot, who are going to be the all-SEC quarterbacks at the end of the year?
I think Stidham, from a production standpoint, is going to be up there. Hurts, with his running ability, will, and the Alabama brand, that certainly doesn't hurt. I think those two are probably going to be up there. I think Nick Fitzgerald can compete for it. I don't think Jacob Eason will do it this year. I think it's really between Hurts and Stidham.
All right, new coach at Texas. You have Texas at number 15. What do you like?
The offensive line is better, and same kind of thing with Jonah Williams at Alabama. Connor Williams is amazing at left tackle. He's somebody who just does not give up much pressure. And even though they lost Deonta Foreman, they seem like they're pretty well prepared in the backfield. And Tom Herman's offensive system is built so much more on creative efficiency, more than just flat-out efficiency, that with all the speed Texas has, I think they take a big step forward.
11, Louisville. I might actually have expected Louisville to be higher, given that they have the returning Heisman Trophy winner. Thoughts on Louisville?
Okay. Yeah, I understand that for sure. My biggest concern is the offensive line. I think I mentioned that right in there. They were pretty bad last year.
He got murdered. Like, yeah, he got blasted.
Abysmally bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they lose three of those, so maybe it's addition by subtraction. And they lost a lot of skill position talent, too, so I think that they'll struggle a little bit early before they really start to figure it out.
A local team here, MTSU at number 7.
I like Middle Tennessee. Man, a couple of years ago, they had Richie James go off as a freshman, and then Brent Stockstill, a really nepotism-like move that really paid off, that I think Rick Stockstill made a very gutsy call with that one, benching a returning starter for his son, but it's turned out pretty well. Octavius Mathers, his departure, that hurts without a question, but if you look back at that 2015 team, I don't think any running back had more than 500 yards, and they were still a really good passing attack.
Talking to David Kenyon from the Bleacher Report. Follow him on Twitter at Kenyon19_BR. Okay, just a few more left. In the American Athletic Conference with the University of Memphis, South Florida.
Quentin Flowers is so much fun. Oh. He's the epitome of a fun college quarterback, especially in today's dual threat-focused era. I like that Sterling Gilbert tried to tweak his motion a little bit in the spring. ESPN's Andrea Adelson reported that. How that pays off, we'll see in the fall, obviously. But as long as he's healthy and able to run, I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand looking at his numbers, he's not much of a scrambler. He obviously can, but Willie Taggart did so many designed runs that he made plays with that if he starts to scramble even more this year out of necessity or whatever it is, he's still going to put up similar numbers.
Okay, and then number 1 and number 3, sandwiching the University of Memphis, was 1 was Oklahoma, 3 was Oklahoma State. Obviously, Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State. Which of those two quarterbacks, by the way, if you had a college team and you could start your college team, who are you picking there?
Ooh, man. that's one where you really can't go wrong. And I definitely think that Baker Mayfield is just so special as a college quarterback. Does it translate to the NFL? I don't know. That's a different question. But I think I would take Baker Mayfield, especially given Lincoln Riley's coaching. He's just a pretty remarkable guy on the field.
And then lastly, there's a couple offenses that I wanted to ask you about that are not on your list. One is UCLA, and I ask you because UCLA, Josh Rosen, come in here to Memphis during this season. Thoughts on UCLA?
So I really like what UCLA did. They brought in Jed Fish, and if you look back to even his time at Miami, he made Stephen Morris into somebody that one NFL.com writer, I remember, called him a franchise-looking quarterback. And, I mean, we haven't really heard from Stephen Morris in the NFL, but if he can do that with Stephen Morris, man, he's going to make Josh Rosen good, even better than he is. My concern, though, is the wide receivers. They're young, mostly. So how do they progress at the beginning of the season? And the running game was so bad last year, just terrible. So I think there's a larger jump from UCLA as opposed to a team like Memphis that goes from good to great, in my mind. UCLA has to go from pretty mediocre to good.
That'll be a fun game. And then lastly, across state, the University of Tennessee's got to find a quarterback. They got some work to do. Thoughts on Tennessee's offense?
Big concern with Tennessee. Quinn Dormady obviously finished the spring well, so there's an encouraging sign there. But I think the offensive line is just what it is. I don't know how much better it can get, other than Trey Smith is obviously an exciting prospect for them. Maybe he starts this year. But the receiving core without Josh Malone, I mean, I don't think it gets better, and I don't see the quarterback position being any better than when Josh Dobbs was there.
David, you're awfully nice to join us. Appreciate it, and we appreciate the good pub being thrown the University of Memphis's way. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me on.
That is David Kenyon from the Bleacher Report.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.